powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we go
now. This hour of Bump and Stacy is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. I need you guys to join this conversation on the Mac and Jack's text line. So here's my question. Is there a number for DK Metcalf where you'd say, no, no thank you, gonna pass? 206-421-3776. Bump, I might as well turn to you first here. Is there a number where you would say no and then where you think the Seahawks might say no? That could be two different answers.
Man, is there a number? If I'm the Seahawks, I'm going to say we're not going to make him the highest paid receiver in the NFL. And I think that's their bargaining tool, right? That's what they can use because you can compare him to Cooper Kupp.
Right.
You can compare him to Justin Jefferson. You can compare him to all these other guys who statistically had better seasons than him. Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase, Deebo Samuel, guys who had just performed better. So if I am the Seahawks, I'm saying, look, there's a number, but it's not going to be 30-plus mil because these guys have outperformed you, and that's what they are worth. Me, is there a number? I think I would lean with the Seahawks because we got to go back to that our last segment. We're talking about spending money and how they just spend, what, $53 million already. And if you were to break the bank and pay DK, now you really have no money to pick up anybody else, right?
Right.
So I would be in the same area as the Seahawks that I cannot make you the highest paid receiver. I can hover around 25, 26 million. I think he's worth it. I think DK has the potential to be a top five receiver in this league, all his abilities. And then you got to look at, all right, well, who's throwing the ball? I'm going to pay you $30 million, but are you going to give me $30 million type production? Because we don't know if Drew Lock's going to be the guy. Can Geno get it done? You got Baker and Jimmy Garoppolo. Because there's so many questions surrounding his production, because his production is so contingent on everything else happening.
Exactly.
It'd just be tough to make him the highest paid receiver in the league.
I'm going to pin down a number, though. That's
right.
What we're going to do. Is there a number? So let me read you guys the top five salaries here. Tyreek Hill, this is average per year, which isn't always going to be what they get per year, but just the average. So Tyreek Hill, $30 million. Number one, he is the top paid wide receiver in football in terms of average yearly salary, $30 million. Devontae Adams, number two, $28 million. DeAndre Hopkins, he's been there for a while, but he's now number three with $27.2 million. Cooper Kupp lands at number four, $26.7 million. A.J. Brown, number five, at $25 million. Is there a number that you would not surpass out of this top five? Because if you get $25 million for DK, he's tied with number five as the fifth highest paid receiver in terms of average annual salary in the league.
Is there a number I wouldn't pass?
You 30 would be Tyreek. So Tyreek's if you pass 30 or go to 30, you're tied for number one.
Yeah, I'm not passing 30. I'm hovering around 25. I'm trying to give him the same deal that his old teammate got, A.J. Brown. That's where I would hover around. And that's no knock on DK. And I think that if Russell Wilson were here, if you had a Hall of Fame quarterback, if you put up 1,200 yards last season and 12 touchdowns, then I think it'd be a different story. But Russell Wilson is gone. He didn't put up. He wasn't the leading receiver on the team. Tyler Lockett was the leading receiver on the team. So those are all negotiating tools, right? Now, talent-wise, can he play with the best of the best? For sure, most definitely. I think DK, you put him in the perfect position or perfect situation, he's going to go out there and ball, but he's just not in that perfect situation right now.
From the 253, Tyreek, $30 million, is the scariest guy with the ball. I don't argue with you there. The 509 says, I, for one, can't wait to watch Tyreek Hill standing wide open on the other end of the field as 20 throws go down without him. Love that. From the 206, over 25 is too much. Another 206 saying I'm paying him no matter what. Now, I am actually leaning toward, against my better judgment, the latter. DK is your superstar. Your team needs superstars. I know that sounds stupid to some people. I am telling you right now, it is important that if you have superstar talent, you hang on to that talent. We just had an entire conversation about the Seahawks paying a ton of money to guys that don't fit those traditional premium positions, right? We're talking about inside linebackers, strong safeties. Not your outside corner, but you know why? Because they looked at their middle linebacker and they said, this guy's a future Hall of Famer. They looked at their strong safety and they said, we would give up two first-round picks for this guy. I know that you guys will point at DK and you'll say he's got some drops. And that's a problem. And I know that you're going to point at the quarterback and saying, well, unlike Bobby Wagner, who can make a bunch of tackles no matter what, DK's got to get the ball from the quarterback. And if that quarterback isn't doing a great job, then is he worth 25? And I understand all of that. That being said, DK is an exceptional talent. a talented player who you drafted and who actually worked out, there's a number where I'd say no. Like you, probably over 30, I'd be like, that's rich for my blood. Over 25, absolutely. 10 times out of 10, I'd pay more than 25.
I can see going over 25. And you make a good point. You need superstars on your team, and DK is emerging. He might not be there yet. I think maybe he needs one more season to be a true superstar, but there's no denying the talent this dude has. He can do a lot of things that no one else can do. Now, when you make moves, when you spend money, it affects everything else around you. And what are they trying to do this year? They're trying to work towards getting back to championship contention. And to do that, you just need to save as much money as you can. Now, they go out and they spend money and they pay Uncle Will maybe a little too much, Quinn Jefferson maybe a little too much, and those moves don't really make sense to you. But like I said before, if you go out and you break the bank on one, it's going to affect everything else that's going on. You got to have a savings. You got to have some money in the bank just in case something happens. So that's what makes DK such an interesting situation right here, because everyone sees that he can do some things that no one else can do. But in the situation that the Hawks are in right now, you do need a superstar, but you do need to be cautious about how you are spending your money. And some people say, what's an extra $4 million? That's a Brian Monet. You know, what's an extra $6 million? You know, that's a Noah Fant. You know what I'm saying? So you have to try to connect the dots when it comes to spending money. You got to look towards the future. But DK is worth every single penny, in my opinion.
From the 253, don't want to overpay a diva. Let me tell you what, if that diva can get me over 1,200 yards, and if that diva can get me 12 touchdowns, and if that diva isn't like a locker room cancer, I'm okay with it. I'm very okay with overpaying a diva. I don't think DK is a diva. I think he's just a guy that rightfully is getting a lot of attention. You know why? Because he's a superstar.
Exactly.
Because I guarantee you, the number one selling jersey for this team, I guarantee you it's going to be 14. It's going to be DK Metcalf. You know how you get people in the seats with superstars?
Yep.
If I'm Jody Allen, I'm looking at DK Metcalf saying, hey, I very much love that a bunch of high schoolers and college kids are obsessed with this guy, that he speaks to them, and young people are like, I'm so excited for this guy.
You know what drives me crazy about diva?
Oh, yeah. As a former wide receiver, what does drive you crazy about?
Tom Brady's a diva.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's a diva. I mean, there's so many. To be one of the greatest at anything, you low-key got to be a diva. I mean, you have to want the ball. You have to want the attention. You got to want to make the play. So people knock receivers because we're more marketable. You know, you can put us on commercials.
You guys saying you're prettier than quarterbacks?
I'm not saying we're prettier, but man, hey, we're at the pageant with them, though. We're standing next
Curtis,
to them.
Listen to this typical diva wide receiver response, pointing to quarterbacks, going, what about Tom Brady?
It's not bad to be a diva. You know, as long as you're a good teammate,
okay. This is what gets me, and I don't think this is just a Seattle team. Let me also stress, I am from Seattle, technically from SeaTac. Shout out to Tahiti High School. But there are people that are like, I don't want a diva. I just want like a lunch pail guy that shows up and does the job. I want a superstar. Am I wrong for wanting that? I want a team.
Superstars are a lot more fun than guys who just show up and do their job.
I want a Richard Sherman. I want a team where people are like, can we get that guy on the cover of Madden? Why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want that?
You want...
I'm sorry. This isn't like Nirvana. Like, I'm not trying to be like super alt with like, no, I want players no one hears about or cares about. No, I want players other people look at and say, oh, man, I'd love to have that guy on my team.
And then here's the great thing, too. And then you'll get a Cooper Kupp. You know, it's the Cooper Kupps that mess it up for everybody, right? Cooper Kupp is just a humble
Cooper
dude.
Cooper Kupp can't
says all the
guy.
Right
so
things.
Nice.
I mean, he's like perfect. You know what I mean? Like, good for him. That works for him.
So annoying.
If you ever play sports at a high level, like, you have to carry yourself a certain way. You have to believe you're the best. You have to want to make the play. So you have to show emotion, especially in football. It's such an emotional sport. People want freaking robots out there. It's not going to happen like that all the time. So I throw the word diva around, okay. But those, know why you're calling them a diva? Because they balling right now. If he wasn't balling and acting that way, he'd be off the team.
Yep.
You wouldn't hear about it.
Yep. Cooper Kupp reminds me of this girl, Amanda, who my...
Classic Amanda.
Classic Amanda. My ex-boyfriend, obviously, dated Amanda. She was a model and an engineer. And I'm not joking.
That's
nicest
impressive.
Person.
It's like being
the
an astronaut
nicest
doctor.
The nicest person I've ever met in my life. Well, now that's my
yeah,
friend, Brian
who you're totally real boyfriend.
Totally real. Text line is split. Again, Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. People saying, David and Issaquah, how about this one, Bob? What do you think about this? Because David isn't alone in this opinion. Metcalf's totally worth it, but not without a great O-line.
David, I think I responded to you earlier. That is correct. You need offensive linemen, and they don't get enough attention. But what I appreciate about the Seahawks right now is that they are trying to build a great offensive line. You're bringing Charles Cross. You got Abe Lucas. You got Austin Blythe in the middle. Damian Lewis is going to have a bounce back year. Didn't have the greatest year his sophomore year. He's going to have a good third year. And then you got the OG Gabe Jackson on that offensive line. So, yes, offensive line don't get enough attention. When we talk to Big Ray, I'm sure they'll get a lot of attention. But you are correct. It starts and ends with the offensive lineman.
From the 253, if we're not going to go 25 to 27 million, then we should have traded him when we could have gotten a lot. What do you think?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I blanked.
So if we aren't going to go 25 to 27 for him, then we should have traded him.
Yeah. You got to – the situation you're in now, it is what it is. You have to pay the man. You have to be comfortable with it. But again, I said this the other day. They didn't know what was going to happen with the receiver market. Like, this is crazy what's going down right now. But, yeah, you got to be good with 25 to 27. Roll up your sleeves. Get it done.
From the 253, it's not the Bump and Stacey show if Mike doesn't mention Cooper Kupp.
Kupp, the best receiver in the league, route running. He blocks. God. He's smart. Big ups, Eastern Washington University.
I think that the if I have to say the number that people are looking at on the text line is 27.
Yeah.
I would say 26, 27, which would make him about the fourth highest paid receiver in all of football. Does that sound fair to you?
I'm okay with that. I'm good.
Yeah. Also, the 26 says go Toto. Or the 206 says go Toto.
Let's go. Oh, Taiyi. Taiyi Golf Course is where I started my golf journey.
Nice.
Taiyi Golf Course.
All right. This hour, Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Is there a number for DK where you'd say no? I think the text line has settled on the average of more than 27. But we'll see where this these negotiations take us here. Let's get to four down territory. All right, first down, Steph Curry climbs the ladder of all-time greats with his fourth NBA championship. Is there any player in the NFL who could help his legacy this year if he wins a Super Bowl?
Why, Stacey, yes, there is. And his name is Matthew Stafford. Can he win back-to-back Super Bowls? Hasn't been done since the 2003-04 Patriots. But here's where he stands, 49,000 yards. 49,000 yards, that's 12th all-time. 4,302 completions, 11th all-time. 323 pass TDs, that's 12th all-time. He's right there. I mean, you look at and think of Matthew Stafford as a guy with great talent, was just in a bad situation. Now he wins a Super Bowl. He's surrounded by talent. I think if this guy can win another Super Bowl or even just put together another great season, you got to start moving him up when it comes to one of the greatest QBs of all time. I'm not saying he's a Joe Montana or one of those guys, but he's moving up the ladder. I think this is going to be a big year for Matthew Stafford.
Do you think people are going to continue to point to, particularly if Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald are still great, those two guys? Because I would say that if you ask the average NFL fan why the Rams won the Super Bowl, they'll say Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Even though Cooper Kupp was phenomenal for them.
And they should say Aaron Donald. It's a team sport. Jordan had Pippen. Kobe has Shaq. D. Wade has Shaq. LeBron had Kyrie.
And D. Wade.
I mean, you know, like, you need someone else. Yeah. So you can say that. I appreciate that argument, but that's just how team sports work.
What if in this case Stafford is Pippen? Stafford is, you know.
Well, in football, he can't be Pippen.
Right.
And he's
right.
A quarterback. Yeah, he's got to be Jordan.
Got to be Jordan. Second down. Tyler Lockett made the NFL's most unappreciated list. We obviously love him here in Seattle. Why does the national fan base overlook him as one of the best wide receivers in the NFL?
Because he ain't a diva. You know, because he's not out there making a whole bunch of noise. But let me remind you who Tyler Lockett is. We know who he is, but the national media just ignores that he's had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. 33 touchdowns the last four seasons. That's seventh amongst active players in the last three seasons. 3,286 receiving yards in the last three seasons. That's sixth amongst active players. 255 receptions last three seasons. That's seventh amongst active players. It's because he does poetry, because he's a nice guy, because he's not making all that noise on the sideline. So like I mentioned, Cooper Kupp, whoever texted that in, I say it again, Cooper Kupp, because he does things a certain way. Tyler Lockett just does it differently. But when you break down the numbers, when you watch the film, you see how he makes the difficult catches. This guy is one of the top receivers in the NFL, and I'm glad that NFL.com put out that article giving him his flowers, because when it's all said and done, when we watch NFL films 10 years from now, They're going to mention Tyler Lockett like Lance Allworth, man. I remember him back like in the 60s or 70s mm-hmm. for the Chargers. Like, he's one of those guys who won't be truly appreciated until it's all said and done.
Hear me out. If he was 6'3", would he be more appreciated?
Most
if he
definitely.
He was a big-bodied, oh, yeah. outside, typical receiver. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, because, you know, Bobby Yakima says, 5'9", 5'10", 11", yeah. I could do that. It's not that hard. When you see a DK Metcalf, a body, a figure that you're just not used to seeing doing amazing things, it makes you buy into it a bit more.
Now, I could be misremembering, but I still remember, I believe Brian Schottenheimer in his first year, because I wasn't here for Bevel's first year. So Brian Schottenheimer in his first year was talking, I want to say Brock had this, so this was back during Brock and Salk, but talking about Brian Schottenheimer being maybe most surprised by Lockett's ability to just make any catch. Which speaks to an offensive coordinator coming in from the outside, and he's coming in looking at all these other guys, because at the time, did they have Jimmy Graham? I think so. At the time, he's looking at all these other pieces and all these other weapons, and then you see this smaller receiver, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, in training camp, that guy's making every contested catch that he shouldn't, just based on his size, be able to make. And it still stands out to me to this day that someone from the outside came in and just was maybe most surprised by Lockett's ability, because it speaks to what the assumptions people are going to have about him.
He judged a book by its cover. Yeah. Little guy, he can't make the tough catch. That's all Tyler Lockett does, is make the tough catch.
Yeah, that's right. All petite wide receiver number one. Third down. Are there any positions that need to be addressed other than the quarterback position for the Seahawks for the upcoming season?
Now, we just talked about the money that they are spending, and they're addressing a lot of position. At the tight end spot, you bring in Noah Fant. You still got Will Disley. Offensive line, you got two young tackles there. You bring in a center. Receiver-wise, you still got your 1-2 combo, and you got some receivers that you drafted on the back and still waiting on D'Eskers. Defensively, you're bringing defensive linemen. That linebacker situation, I think, is good to go, but you still bring in Uchenna. At the corner spot, you draft a corner. You're bringing an OG. You draft a couple corners and bring in an OG and Artie Burns, and then in the back end, safeties. I say all that to say no. Like, they've addressed every situation. And like I mentioned earlier, you look at the top 100 free agents out there, they're all older dudes. Now, is this going to work now? Can they develop these guys? Can they make it mesh and make it work? But the Hawks have done everything that they need to do. Now, I said minus the quarterback position. We all know what's there. We're going to continue to talk about this quarterback situation. But as far as everybody else, every position has been addressed. Now it's about coaching. Can they get it done? Can they get these guys to execute?
Fourth down. Oh, I love this question, because there are a lot of choices, Bump, and a lot of good answers. Which Seahawks coach has the toughest job this year?
The toughest job. You can look at that offensive line, Andy Dickerson. You're dealing with two young tackles. You're trying to develop an offensive line that has given up a bunch of sacks back in the day. These tackles come from an air raid offense. You got a new center, Damian Lewis. Then you can go to the secondary. You got Carl Scott, who's dealing with a team that gave up 265 pass yards a game. That's the second most in the NFL. Only had seven interceptions. That's the third least in the NFL. And then you can look at Shane Waldron with a new quarterback position. I'm going to go with Carl Scott. He's responsible. He is the defensive pass game coordinator. He has to get these guys to defend the pass. If you can defend the pass, you force a team to run the ball, you become one-dimensional. And he's got some new spots over there. You got Kobe Bryant over there. What are you going to do with Artie Burns? Mm-hmm. You got Tariq Woolen over there. There are some things that need to be done. And I think if they can lock down that back end, because I really believe in the box right now. I believe in Al Woods. I believe in Monet. I believe in Jordan Brooks. I believe in Daryl Taylor. I think that back end has to get it done. Typically, the box helps the back end by putting pressure on the quarterback. This year, I'm going to say that back end is going to help the box by blanketing these receivers and making it tough for the quarterback to see these lanes. I'm going with Carl Scott. He's got a lot to do.
Very, very good answer, especially consider the passing defense. But I'm going to look at coordinators quickly to ask you a question about Clint Hurt. He is in such a fascinating position where if he doesn't make them a number one defense, you look at the personnel and you look at where they started and say, yeah, that makes sense. I get it. But you also consider that without Russell Wilson, and judging from Pete Carroll's identity of who he wants to be as a team, that job to turn them into a top five defense is also hugely important, and it's important that they get it done soon. What kind of pressure is he facing?
Man, that's beautiful, Stace. That is correct, because you think that you have to lean on the defense to get the offense going. Now, the defense has to keep this offense in the game, because if Drew Lock is the guy, you don't know what you're going to get out of
him.
Can he put up 25, 30 points a game? Can he make that throw in the fourth quarter on a drive to win it down the sideline to DK Metcalf? You're going to pay 27 men, apparently. You know, so, yes, Clint Hurt is in a position, a peculiar position, also because Ken Norton, people have been coming after Ken Norton for years now. Like, get rid of him, get rid of him. And Pete Carroll's loyal. He's held on to him. So now you have a new defensive coordinator. It's going to be interesting. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of pressure on Clint Hurt.
Well, and that's the thing. If you look at, okay, if Clint Hurt were to take this defense and make it a top five defense, you'd be like, great, he did his job. Consider how astronomical a feat that would be to take a 31st ranked pass defense, obviously with help from his positional coaches, and turn them into a top five defense. Like, if that's what success is marked by for him this year, that'd be the first time since what the Niners in 2019 to make that kind of transition with their pass defense. They went from near the bottom of the league to number two overall.
Here's what scares me with that. Say Clint does it.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's a head coach after this.
Ooh,
1 year. He's
done. I
didn't
even think about that. Yeah, no, I don't like that.
Well, I mean, we love the way these guys love him. We love the way he leads. If he can do that, man, he's going to be hot.
I mean, hopefully he can. I feel like I mentioned personnel, but I do feel like they've got good weapons to work with. I've said that every year, but I really do feel that with especially the defensive line, which I think, and I know you agree, could be better than people think. Lots of question marks, though.
Yeah.
See how it all folds out. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up next, one star quarterback reportedly lost a ton of money from his rookie contract because he had it paid in crypto. That's next.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
This hour, Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. What's maybe the most ridiculous thing you've heard trademarked? Because I understand why they did it, but I'm going to go ahead and add the word "the" to the list here. Ohio State, in our first story for The Timeline, has successfully registered a trademark for "the," as in the Ohio State University.
Barf.
Ohio State. We know. It's y'all. Y'all did it. But it's fun for other universities to say it too. I love watching Monday Night Football and someone says the University of Miami. You know,
it's the best thing ever when they just take shots.
So what does that mean? No one else can say it now?
I'm like, still going to say I went to the University of Washington. It's not as cool.
It's not as cool if I say the Washington State University.
I think you should. I think the Washington State University is actually really funny.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right,
I think it's better than University of Washington. The Washington State University.
And Ohio State University. That's what we're going to refer to them as.
I went to an Ohio State University.
I mean, this is just classic Ohio State arrogance. I was this close to saying classic East Coast bias. But
it's close.
Midwest.
Like, how can a school be that full of themselves where it's like, yes, we are the Ohio State University. Okay, you live in Ohio. You eat mayonnaise a lot.
Okay, but
cool.
Also, you know what school has the most pro football players right now or the most recently drafted? Like, Ohio State.
Them in Alabama.
No, I think Ohio State's leading right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Still.
Good for them.
Still. They're horrible.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I get they do have a history of athletic excellence, and that has only increased year over year, and you've seen that in the NFL. But, yeah, I think it's one of those things, if you went to Ohio State, you have people connected to it, you love it. You can't wait. You're walking through the halls. OH, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't, you think it's nothing but arrogance.
I just want to know why. Like, what happened? What triggered this? Were you just so tired of hearing other people say it that you're like, no, this is ours?
Well, what are you going to do now? Are you going to wait for, like, a single player to be like, I went to the, University of Miami, and then what are you going to do, sue them? You've been subpoenaed. You've been served.
So now you gotta say, I went to the University of Miami. Not the. It's just the way you say it, right? Because, how many times do we use the word the?
I mean, oh, it's got to be countless throughout the day.
Yeah.
Like, throughout the day.
Throughout. Oh, I'm going to start saying the.
Throughout the broadcast.
This is the Bump and Stacey show.
We're all over it. Sue us.
Do it. Do it, Ohio State. See what happens. Next story here in the timeline. Now, this one I included specifically for you, Bump.
Okay.
Or, excuse me, specifically for you, Curtis.
Oh, not me.
Sorry.
Never mind. Curtis.
All right.
Take it away.
You could sit this one out, Bob.
No. But when I say this, because it has nothing to do with the Seahawks. It has nothing to do with Seattle. In fact, it has everything to do with Curtis's Arizona Wildcats. The Mount Rushmore of Philly is now trending. Mount Rushmore of the Eagles. You know whose face is not on it? One Nick Foles.
wow, the author of the greatest play in franchise history.
Well,
the
quarterback
of the biggest win in franchise history.
Curtis, I don't know how to tell you this, but he's not part of the Mount Rushmore for our Eagles fans.
Look, I don't live there. I don't have to live with that mistake, but we all know the truth. We all know exactly who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of Eagles fans. I mean, he's got a statue of himself,
right?
It's just
four faces of Nick Foles.
Yeah. And then, like, Reggie White. Three Nick Foles, one Reggie White.
That's fair. I think that's totally fair. Next story in the timeline. I'm going to start with a question here. What is, Bump, one of the worst investments you've ever made?
Ooh, one of the worst investments
it doesn't have to be a literal
I've ever
investment,
made.
Something you got where you were like, this was the biggest waste of money I can remember.
I would have to say, you know, when I was a rookie, I went to the Mall of America in Minnesota. We went out there for a preseason game. And I had a little bit of change. I had a stipend. I was newly married. And I bought some jewelry. And I got God. It was fake.
Oh,
I got God.
No. I got at God. The mall? You bought it from the mall?
But I was young. Fake? I bought it from one of those little shady kiosks.
Oh, in the middle where they're like, yeah. excuse me. You walk by, excuse me.
Would you like to buy some fine diamonds?
Yeah, I bought it. I made eye contact. That's where I messed up. I looked him in the eye.
You got to look down at the ground.
I take out my phone.
Keep moving forward.
I look at my phone and I swipe in between. There's no app open. I just keep just swiping between the windows of like your apps where you're like page 2, page 1. And then you just keep
when
walking.
I go to the mall, I purposely find the cleanest pair of shoes I have so that the shoe shine stand guys don't flag me down.
Smart.
You want a shoe shine?
That's
it's like,
really
nope, because you're only going to shine one of them. And I'm going to look like an idiot walking around with one clean shoe, one dirty shoe.
That's a good trick, keeping your phone just up to your ear. Just, sorry, I'm on the phone right now.
We'll put the earphones in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, excuse me. My wife makes fun of me. I call them earphones. She goes, they're AirPods.
You call them earphones?
Yeah.
Where are my earphones? AirPods, earphones? That's okay. I did say the Facebook earlier today, so I can't say anything. Well, I ask because Trevor Lawrence, now entering his second year, reportedly lost a ton of money from his rookie contract because he had it paid out in crypto. Now, this isn't necessarily an investment so much as part of your contract where you had it paid out in crypto, but he has lost, I think, something like $24 million.
Of $32 million possible.
Because he had it paid out in crypto. I mean, maybe that changes over time, but as of right now, from that 30 plus million, he's got, it's like worth about seven or eight million.
Do you like double down and try to get your investment back in crypto in hopes that the market picks back up?
Ooh, good question.
You're going to lose even more, I feel like. Stacey, you've made some reckless bets in your time. How do you work your way out of a quagmire like this?
Well, I didn't show up to work for 2 days to avoid paying
in
out
hopes
on one
that
of them.
People forgot about
no, they
the
did
donut
not.
Bets.
Literally, I was getting tweets from people saying, hey, you owe them donuts still. Don't forget it. Like, on my deathbed. I've got it. Thank you. Most of my bets are made with the idea of I'm probably going to lose this, but it's the only way I could get Jake to agree to a bet is if I was like, hey, I bet you Jesse Winker hits 2 home runs. Like, what, I'd have to say that for him.
What bet did you make where you had to show up in, like, emo 2010?
Oh, that was you thought J.P. Crawford was going to hit a home run that
night. I said J.P. Crawford would hit a home run, and J.P. Crawford did hit a home run.
The next night.
Mm.
So then when we did a giveaway for the shirt where we were like, wear this before a big event. You got a wedding the next day. You got a test the next day. You have a presentation the next day. Wear it the day before.
It's like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Now, getting back to Trevor Lawrence losing 24 of a possible $32 million, don't they have, like, classes that rookies can take in the NFL? Basically, like, here's some sound financial advice. Like, here's how you maximize the salary that you're making.
They have, at least back in my day, long time ago, right? But they would offer it up. They wouldn't make you sit through
it. So
it
wouldn't be mandatory.
No, it wouldn't be mandatory. They'd offer it up. So he had the resources, that's for sure.
Also on the timeline, wrapping up with this one, it's just a great quote. I know we all hate the Astros, but we don't hate Dusty Baker. In fact, many people love Dusty Baker. How about this quote from him? This is via Adam Spillane. Dusty Baker says he hasn't seen Stranger Things, a famous Netflix show that's out with its newest season. This is Dusty's quote. What's so strange about them?
As his head is down, he's looking over the top of his glasses, yes. Like pushes them up.
I don't get it.
What am I supposed to see here?
Stranger things. Were they strange before, and now they're even more strange? Like, what? I don't get it. What's happening here?
You just show him the poster, and he would think it's strange because there's some stuff going on in that poster.
I respect the disinterest that a lot of older people have in popular things, where they're, yes, just like, I've seen it all. I don't need to see this.
Is there anyone in your family that still hasn't come around to, like, my stepdad will not text. He has text capabilities on his phone. He will hand the phone to my mom and dictate to her what to text because he refuses to text. I think he doesn't know how, but he.
So he'll just call people?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That's risky in 2022 to just cold call people.
He does it all the time. All the time. He and his friends just call each other. And in fact, when he had one of those Nokia, the little like walkie talkie things, they'd go over.
If you're cold calling somebody in 2022, I mean, God, if I know a phone call is going to come, if I'm going to get it, I have to carve out like 10 to 15 minutes of time of my day, or else I'm not prepared for it.
I could be doing absolutely nothing, and I'd be like, hey, I'm busy. I'll call you back in like 10 minutes. I got to be ready for that call. If I'm not ready, I'm not answering
it. Yeah, well, the problem with taking calls, which is something that our generation and younger understand, is sometimes you don't know how to end the call.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. Like, sometimes I do, like, well, I better let you go. I better let you get out of here. I mean, I'm taking up
so
much of
your
time.
You're probably busy.
Yeah. I know you got a lot of stuff to do. So I'm just going to hang up the phone now and let you go. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm sure there are people, everyone older than 40 right now is listening going, why are you all afraid of answering the phone? You're all idiots.
Don't do it.
I know. No, we just don't do it. Don't know what to tell you. All right. Big Ray Roberts going to join us at the top of the hour. Speaking of the offensive line, we're going to be looking at that. And let's take a look at the Seahawks as a whole. That's coming up in 20 minutes. Before then, though, the biggest story in the NFL has nothing to do with the Seahawks or Mariners today. Instead, it's those hearings about the Washington Commanders. We'll tell you everything you need to know about one of the biggest stories right now.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
I know you're probably thinking, why are we talking about Dan Snyder and the Washington Commanders? This has nothing to do with Seattle sports. It does, though, have to do with the NFL, and it is the biggest story in the NFL today. Go to ESPN.com, any sports page. Go to NewYorkTimes.com, Washington Post, and you're going to see this story right on the front page because it is a big one, and there are hearings that happened earlier today. Those hearings are going to continue tomorrow, and Dan Snyder, this news breaking this afternoon, is going to be subpoenaed to appear before that group of representatives. Next week is when they're trying to do it. Now, why does any of this matter? Well, I think that what happens, I'm quoting Mina Kimes here, everyone kind of gets Dan Snyder fatigue when it comes to how horrible this franchise has been, right?
Yeah.
It's, you hear about someone doing bad things over and over and over, and each new bad thing that comes out really does nothing to you. But that shouldn't be the case. And when we collectively hear this stuff about Dan Snyder, what we should be doing is getting just as upset as people do when they hear about a player and saying there's no place for that in the NFL.
Preach.
Why? Why? Because all of us love sports, work in sports, want to work in sports, whatever. And this is a person almost directly responsible for creating a very hostile environment. And even though a lot of these allegations are from 10 years ago, he is still there. This person is still here with this team. And Bump, here's some of the latest to come out from not only this hearing, but from a letter obtained by the Washington Post about that settlement. So first, I'll start with what Daniel Snyder was actually accused of doing. That was making obviously unwanted advances at an employee, at one point groping her. She accused him of trying to take off her clothes. This was on a flight coming back from, I think, an award show. And a lawyer who she was working with was actually reporting to Dan Snyder, to one of his companies. And so that lawyer and the entire investigation has also been accused of having obviously a conflict of interest, being that, well, how are you going to find your boss guilty of something? And no coincidence here. The letter that was obtained by Washington Post, like, accused the woman of like wearing inappropriate clothing and the same stuff you see.
Where would you want to wear? That don't mean a man can do what he want to do.
No.
I mean, and the fact that trying to take someone's clothes off. That's disturbing. Like, I feel bad for that young lady who was in that situation. And the same way that you want to get after players for making mistakes, right? Whether it be on the football field, out in the streets. And some of these guys are making mistakes that don't even affect anybody else, but yet people come for their head, and then the NFL just goes so hard on them. This is against our code of conduct, man. Hold your leaders in your league to the same standard. That's all I'm asking you. Snyder, show up. Take your butt to court. Sit there and explain yourself, sir. Right? You're over there in France right now. Man, I wish I had some homies in France right now just to roll up on them.
Just be like, hey, sorry, I can't show up to these hearings. I have important business matters to take care of, not here. So I can't be here. So sorry. This is some of the stuff to come out of those hearings. A few are Dan Snyder clearly being aware of issues and never disciplining or getting rid of perpetrators. So this is a quote. A former chief operating officer for the Commanders for 5 years testified that when Snyder learned of a member of the team's coaching staff had groped a public relations employee, groped her, he refused to take action and instead directed that employee to stay away from the coach.
It's her fault, right?
It's her fault. Totally her fault. You need to stay away. You need to continue to work with this person.
Why were you there?
Physically groped you. Exactly right. Yeah. Get out of there. It doesn't matter that you're a team employee and a public relations employee. PR, you're going to be interacting and crossing paths with coaches. But no, I'm going to make your job harder. There's other reports in here of him clearly having like a shadow investigation going while the NFL was investigating. Dan Snyder is doing everything he can to make it clear that this is not a Dan Snyder problem, when in fact, he is the only common denominator.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. When issues arise, and what it goes back as far as 2009, so for 13 years, there have been some type of issue, and he is the common denominator. He runs that team. He is the owner of that team. He makes decisions. He can fire and hire whoever he wants to, and he's protecting his boys, and the NFL is protecting them. So, I mean, just like people need to get after Snyder, you got to put pressure on the NFL,
yeah.
The NFL leaders, the commissioner, all those guys who are in charge, because they're protecting each other, man, and it's sad, man. It's very sad. And that's why you need more representation when people in power. You need more women. Mm-hmm. You need more minorities, mm-hmm. because you got the same type of dudes protecting each other for all these years. They're not going to throw each other under the bus. Bring somebody in who don't care about that. I don't care if your family's on this team for 40 years. Nah.
Yes. Well, and consider this. This is when that kind of like, oh, that guy would never do that, comes into it, which is there's one person testifying who said that Dan Snyder learned that a woman had complained of sexual harassment from someone there named Larry Michael. And she accused him of unwanted comments regarding her appearance, touching her, kissing her forehead, making her feel uncomfortable. In response, Snyder dismissed the allegation, saying Larry's a sweetheart and wouldn't hurt anyone. One of my biggest pet peeves is people comparing their experience with someone to someone else's mm-hmm. experience. Do you know how many times we've heard people talk about people who've been accused of sexual harassment? Like if you're a man and you've, I'm not saying men can't be sexually harassed. This is just the example I'm giving. If you're a man and you're friends with a guy who's been accused of that and you say, he's always been cool to me. Well, have you ever thought that maybe when power dynamics are different mm-hmm. or maybe in other situations that same person, that your boy, your friend, may not have treated someone else with that same respect?
It's you have to see things through many lenses, right? You have to take things into consideration. So, yeah, you're right. Just because you've had one experience doesn't mean the other one had. We can go to the same concert, Stace, and I'd be like, man, that concert was dope. You'd be like, nah, it wasn't that fire to me.
Yeah.
I didn't like the environment. I didn't like the people. So, yeah, you have to get out of your box, man. I just encourage people to listen. Just listen to other people and take things into consideration because you don't know everything.
What do you say when someone says, like, I don't really care about this happening? Like, this was 10 years ago. I don't care.
Then I say, you don't care about your niece. You don't care about your cousins. You don't care about the women in your family that will follow you who might be put in these situations. If we can bring light to it now, maybe that will limit the chances of this happening. Or if it does happen, the person who is in that will be held responsible for it. So it's not about you. It's about, like, the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's take care of these young women now who are like, I got an 8-year-old. I got to make sure she's in the best work environment ever by the time she's, in her 20s.
Right, and those environments aren't going to change when a very, very, very public example of that environment is not changing.
Yep.
All right, it's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Big Ray Roberts joins us next, talking Seahawks. Don't go anywhere.